NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? Radio CUC English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. I'm Feng Guorui.
And I'm Liu Shijin. Today's Monday, November 2nd, the 8th week of this term.
Here is a roundup of the latest news, coming up in 30 minutes.
October 29th, the Student Congress was held in the 400 Lecture Hall.
On October 20th, Chinese President Xi Jinping, accompanied by his wife Peng Liyuan, arrived in London for a state visit to Britain at the invitation of Queen Elizabeth II.
凡是过去皆为序章.
Shakespeare wrote, "What has passed is prologue. We are in an age of pursuing peace and development. It is also an age when countries have to meet challenges and work together. As a Chinese saying goes, a mountain can never be too high, nor an ocean too deep. This great new age enables both of us to join hands and move forward from the new departure point of our comprehensive strategic partnership."
The U.S. and Russia have signed a memorandum of understanding to minimize the risk of the aircraft coming into accidental contact in the skies above Syria.
It calls for aircraft to maintain a safe distance, and we have the most professional, capable air crews in the world, and they operate with professionalism every day over Syria. We're now calling on the Russians to do the same, and these crews, our crews certainly know exactly what a safe distance is, and the obligation is upon the Russians to maintain that safe distance, maintain that professional airmanship, just as our crews are displaying right now.
A comment on First Lady Peng Liyuan's clothing style during Xi's visit to Britain.
Well, it has been said that traditionally, first ladies have been expected to set the tone of a leader's administration and also to set the tone of the national public's taste as consumers.
And this is Weekly Focus.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news. On October 29th, the Student Congress was held in the 400 Lecture Hall. Students elected the members of the Student Union and offered suggestions on school affairs. Our correspondent Wang Jingyi was there.
In the 400 Lecture Hall, the 36th Student Congress has just begun. The Congress began with a national anthem. The President of Student Federation of Beijing, the Secretary of Youth League Committee, representatives from other colleges gave speeches on this Congress. Now, the students are listening to and deliberating on the report of Students' Union. He Siyao, the president, is delivering the speech.
The Students' Union persists in regarding the needs of students as starting point and goal. We'll listen to students' suggestions, satisfy their needs, and maintain their rights.
Then it comes to the most important part. Selecting members of standing committee. After introductions of candidates, representatives filled in the ballots and deposited them in voting box in turns. After counting, 30 members were elected to represent different faculties of CUC. Finally, the executive president Zhang Chenghan reports students' proposals.
The Congress received 316 proposals. They involve suggestions about schools' development, students' life and study, management of the campus, and employment, etc.
The Student Council is held successfully, and the representatives are leaving. Among them, there are some new faces. So, as a freshman, what do you think about the Student Congress?
As a freshman, I'm glad to attend the Student Congress on behalf of my classmates. The plans made by different faculties and proposals of students really give me hope.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, Studio.
The Student Congress really offers students the opportunity to express their own concerns for the university. Also, the student-oriented way shows that CUC is a university with democracy.
From October 28th to November 1st, Annie Wow 2015, the 10th China International Undergraduate Cartoon Festival was held in CUC. Since 2006, this festival has kept accompanying with China cartoon industry for a booming decade. As a sponsor of the festival, CUC invited many famous directors, film producers, and experts this year, and our correspondent Xu Dingtian was there.
Okay, thank you. I'm on the spot of the 10th China International Animation Festival. Now, the hall of the art department is crowded with undergraduates from various majors and schools. Before today's animation starts, let's listen to the audience voice. Good evening. It's pretty late and dark now, so why still insist on this activity? Are you interested in animation?
I'm majored in the animation actually, but not in the CUC, because the faculty in my school is not so abundant. So I came to find if I can learn something here.
Thank you very much. I hope you can win an impressive night here. As we learned from that guy, this festival has become more and more popular among students all over the country. And on October 30, 2015, Chinese Young Animation Scholars Forum was held in CUC either. It was the first animation academic scholars forum in China, which was only attended by university teachers and graduates. On the stage, the delegates debated attentively, and audience also had opportunities to express their wonder.
Compared with movies, what's the biggest advantage of animation when you want to express your emotion or you have something to tell the audience? Thank you.
In the past, the animation has more imaginary space than the movie. However, with the development of the movie technique in recent decades, this kind of limit has been reduced. They become more and more similar today. But compared with the ordinary film, it's obvious that we can find more pure elements inside most of the animations. Absolutely, these elements don't mean the childishness. They stand for the true, the love, and the beautiful. And sometimes the animation contains more humor, which not only makes the audience laugh, but also brings some food for thought to everyone. Believe it or not, under many situations, you can get much beyond your image when you witness the world as a kid.
As one of the largest animation festivals in China, which is especially for the graduates and campers, anyone exactly brings abundant experience from many famous experts and directors all over the world to us. Even though some of the foreign animation lacked subtitles, it didn't obstruct our passion at all. That's all the information I've got. Back to the studio.
Thank you, Jingtian. It's really incredible that so many famous studios of cartoon industry attended this festival. CUC always offers precious opportunity for students to acquire more extracurricular knowledge, and we are looking forward to more activities like this. Okay, let's look at the domestic news. Chinese President Xi Jinping, accompanied by his wife Peng Liyuan, arrived in London for a state visit to Britain on October 20th. During his first full day of state visit to the UK, President Xi has addressed it to both houses of British Parliament. In his speech, Xi highlighted the long history of China and UK relations and laid out a roadmap for future cooperation.
Since the founding of the new China in 1949, our two countries have led the way in a number of areas in terms of bilateral relations. The UK is the first Western power to recognize the new China, and the first EU member to establish a comprehensive strategic partnership with China. The UK is the leading offshore renminbi trading center after Hong Kong. The UK hosts more Chinese students and Confucius Institutes than any other EU member country. Shakespeare wrote, "What has passed is prologue. We are in an age of pursuing peace and development. It is also in an age when countries have to meet challenges and work together. As a Chinese saying goes, a mountain can never be too high, nor an ocean too deep. This great new age enables both of us to join hands and move forward from the new departure point of our comprehensive strategic partnership."
President Xi's state visit, which concluded on Friday, was the first state visit to Britain by a Chinese president since 2005. He said China and Britain are both major countries with significant influence, and now their partnership is standing at a new starting point. Also, the two countries should seize the opportunities to promote their ties so that China and Britain can build a global comprehensive strategic partnership in the 21st century.
China has defended its oil and gas development in the East China Sea. The remarks by Foreign Ministry spokesperson Hua Chunying come after Japan accused China of violating a 2008 agreement by carrying out unilateral exploration. She also confirmed that the two countries will conduct a new round of high-level maritime consultation.
China's oil and gas development in the East China Sea is conducted within waters that are unquestionably under its own jurisdiction, so there is no issue of unilateral action. We hope Japan will correctly understand the principled consensus on the East China Sea.
Hua emphasized that China's development of gas and oil of the East China Sea was acting within its own waters. There was no so-called unilateral development. So we hope that Japan can have a correct understanding of the principle of the EC and do not raise any unreasonable demands. If based on the four principles that both parties reached last year, China is willing to promote further communication with Japan.
Okay, let's look at the international news. The US and Russia have signed a memorandum of understanding to minimize the risk of their aircraft coming into accidental contact in the skies above Syria.
It calls for aircraft to maintain a safe distance, and we're the most professional, capable air crews in the world, and they operate with professionalism every day over Syria. We're now calling on the Russians to do the same. And these crews, our crews certainly know exactly what a safe distance is, and the obligation is upon the Russians to maintain that safe distance, maintain that professional airmanship, just as our crews are displaying right now.
Russian Foreign Minister said that the talk was tough but beneficial. Russia shared the same goal with the other three countries, which is to stop the war, defeat terrorism, and start the political process of Syria. But as far as how to solve the problems of Syria, each country differed on this point.
The election campaign is in full swing in Abidjan, Ivory Coast's biggest city. Incumbent president is running for his second five-year term and is widely seen as the frontrunner in the upcoming elections. He's supported by the PDCI, one of the country's biggest political parties, and boasts of a fast-growing economy under his presidency.
He built a third bridge in Abidjan. He gave Ivory Coast drinkable water, electricity, and social security. He also made roads.
The poll is crucial for the country after post-election violence 5 years ago left at least 3,000 people dead. For weeks, his National Coalition for Change has been repeating that conditions for free and fair elections have not been met.
Okay, let's move on to the weekly news minute. On October 23rd, Students Association Union held the 7th Association Culture Party in the report hall. After the party, teachers and students said the show was a feast for the eyes.
On October 25th, the AZA vocal band brought the new song, Somebody That I Used to Know, during the Hunger Regiment, the recruiting activity of every association. High valuation is also given to the new song.
A freight train service between central Chinese Hubei province and Moscow opened on Saturday, October 24th. The first train left Hubei's capital Wuhan and will take 12 days to make the 9,779-kilometer trip.
The third Wuzhen Drama Festival kicked off in Jiaxing, Zhejiang province on October 15th. A large number of artistic troupes performed on the streets of Wuzhen in Jiaxing City.
Tokyo International Film Festival raised its curtain on Thursday as Filipino director Mendoza took the center stage at the opening ceremony. The five films from the director have been featured during the ceremony, including his latest film, Take That, shown earlier this year at Cannes. Mendoza says this is a great honor for him.
James Bond actor Daniel Craig walked the red carpet on Monday for the premiere of Spectre in the UK. This is the 24th James Bond film and features Daniel Craig in his fourth performance in the title role.
Nice to meet you again. Let's go through some fresh sport news. Hong Kong Open, a main stop of the European golf tournaments, kicked off in Hong Kong on October 22nd. Taiwan golfer Lu Weizhi has opened the first round with a share of the lead at -6 and is tied with the Italian player Andrew Pavin. Foshan, a city at the north of Hong Kong in Guangdong Province, is also a stop of the tour, and the total prize for Foshan tournament has raised to $500,000 and the champion can get $80,000 back.
Pan Cheng Tong goes close to claiming a share of the lead, but a bogey at the last, so the golfer from Chinese Taipei slipped back to 5-under, one off the pace. Pan's compatriot Lu Weiqi would grab his share of the lead, thanks to some solid play with the flat stick, getting that putt to go. Now, he was also pretty good with his iron play. This nice approach sets him up for a birdie, as he would tweet on three consecutive holes to help him move to 6-under after a 64. He was tied with Italy's Andrea Pavan for the lead.
Let's focus on the snooker news. In Haining Snooker Open, the Chinese leading player Ding Junhui, who is now ranked number 4 in the world, has won his second championship in the Asia Tour after beating Ricky Weldon at 4-3 in the final. In the final, Ding started with 1-2-3 and let his opponent first raise the match point. However, Ding then found his pace and eventually pulled the game back. And this is his first champion in the last 16 months.
We played quite fast. Four frames in 1 hour is close to my record when I'm training. He was a very good player when he was young, but now I think he couldn't concentrate on crucial balls. He should have played better.
Brazilian superstar Neymar will be back on the next World Cup qualifiers against Argentina and Peru next month, confirmed by Brazil's national team. Barcelona forward had missed Brazil's opening matches against Chile and Venezuela earlier this month due to his four-game international suspension. Brazil will face Argentina on November 12th, while Argentina superstar Messi will probably miss this game because of his knee injury. He's expected to be out for at least 4 more weeks as his knee got seriously injured in the Spanish league match in late September. As for the NBA news, Minnesota Timberwolves head coach and president of basketball operational department, Flip Saunders, won't be back to the team anymore as he died of the Hodgkin lymphoma on 26 October at the age of 60. Saunders first entered the NBA in 1995 and became the coach of Timberwolves in the next 10 years. He was diagnosed in June this year, but kept working in his position till 11 September when he had to quit his job to take further treatment. He has coached 1,248 regular season matches in his career with 654 wins and 594 losses, as well as 98 playoffs. That's all for the sport, and let's move on to the entertainment.
Welcome to Weekly Entertainment. Stick to the channel, and I'll bring you a terrific show tonight. Recently, the British pub which Chinese President Xi Jinping and British Prime Minister Cameron headed for during the state visit has become popular, but you may not know a funny story happened in it several years ago. Surrounded by the relaxing atmosphere then, the Camerons left their 8-year-old daughter behind after enjoying themselves in the pub. The Prime Minister's office was forced to admit months after this incident that the couple only realized that their kid was not with them when they got home and picked her up 15 minutes later. Recently, an American scientist called David Whitlock declared that he hadn't had a bath for 12 years. Unlike most of us, he holds the belief that the chemicals in our soaps and shampoos will destroy all the friendly bacteria inhabiting our skin. So, believe it or not, he sprays his skin with the mist containing live bacteria, and that's exactly what keeps him clean all these years. Can you imagine a bunch of zombies surrounding a car as a visitor drives in the park? Sounds like a horror movie scenario, right? But this is what exactly happens in the Wind of the World theme park on October 22nd. As Halloween approaches, the staff dressed up as ghosts and zombies and interacted with visitors. Want to experience it? Just come and greet such a group of gloomy friends. On October 24th, a kindergarten in Wuhan gave the kids a special test. During the teacher's deliberate absence, the parents disguised themselves as strangers and used various kinds of gifts, like candies and dolls, to lure the kids into following them and leaving the kindergarten. Among the 19 kids, 14 failed the test at last. So parents, keep a close eye on your too young, too naive kids, for they could be abducted anytime. Now imagine such a situation. A young woman sits alone in a cafe, sipping tea and reading books. Suddenly, he pauses to scribble in the nearby notepad, only to show it to passing worker. Where's the toilet, please? Now here goes a familiar scenario in Tokyo's so-called silent cafe, where customers are not allowed to speak, as this kind of cafe are opening across the capital recently. Guys, never miss this good chance to cure yourself as a chatterbox. Recently, a single mother called Jess Sullivan from Britain spent $200,000 on dressing her two-year-old daughter up to take part in a beauty contest. In order to save enough money, she hadn't hung out or bought any new clothes for years. You may feel how strange the world is. For some people save money for houses and cars, while some others crazily invest in creating little princesses. It may sound like something from a fantasy video game. While trekking the mountainous wild, a man in Norway recently stumbled upon an ancient, intact sword. This 2.5 feet blade can probably date back to about 750 to 800 AD and may have been used by Vikings of the day. You're amazed by this unusual experience? If so, next time when you go out, mind your step all the time. You might not make it to heaven in the afterlife, but thanks to San Francisco startup Elysium Space, you sure can go as far as the moon. Recently, the company launched a new service called Celestial Funeral. At a cost of $12,000, the company will privately transport your cremated remains to the moon. So guys, want to be delivered to the moon? Then take time to save your money up.
President Xi Jinping's visit to the UK has drawn great attention, as well as our First Lady Peng Liyuan.
Do you know that from the First Lady's clothing, we can also see some hidden political language? Today, Hattie and Daisy will comment on this issue.
Hello, everyone. My name is Daisy, and I am a master student studying broadcasting and hosting at CUC, and I am a graduate student in grade 1.
Hello, everyone. My name is Hattie, and I am a Canadian Chinese master student at CUC in the Global Communication Double Degree Program with Simon Fraser University. So in this past week, China's First Lady Peng Liyuan's fashion choices made quite the sensation on her and President Xi Jinping's state visits to the UK.
Yes, you're right. And you know, in our country, Peng Liyuan was a famous soprano for over 3 decades and holds the rank of army general. So she is more than used to life in the media spotlight, although she's largely stepped away from the spotlight since her husband's political career took off. And on the first day of her visit, she wore a sophisticated blue tailored gown to the state banquet with the Queen. It was a midnight blue silk coat dress called the Royal Blue and had tiny carved buttons. It was a new spin on a Chinese town suit. And her jewelry, of course, is stunning with a pearl and a diamond brooch and a drop earrings.
So what other outfits attracted a lot of attention?
Okay, the second outfit is a white suit. It's with a leaf motif brooch, and her hair was neatly swept up. Although it's unclear who the designer is behind the outfit, Mrs. Peng is said to be a big fan of Chinese couturiers.
Well, as a result of all of that, her fashion activities were featured in quite a few write-ups by UK and US tabloids, as well as national newspapers like the UK's Guardian and the Telegraph. Over there, she's been dubbed China's Kate Middleton because of her ability to blend diplomacy with fashion sense, while in the American media, she is, of course, China's Michelle Obama. In fact, American magazine Vanity Fair left Ms. Obama off their international best dress list and added Peng Liyuan, although, of course, their styles are very different.
Okay, but I just want to know, what are the biggest differences?
Well, I think Michelle Obama has more of an athletic build, and she wears a lot of fashions that are more eclectic, such as the off-shoulder gown and a variety of different cuts. Peng Liyuan goes for a more tailored look with solid and rich colors and very classic lines, so maybe the comparison to Duchess Kate is more appropriate. Although Obama and Peng are also similar in that they like to wear a variety of different designers and don't always wear the biggest international labels, so they'll instead go for smaller or more budget pieces from their own countries.
Yes, do you know, Hattie? In China, Peng Liyuan style has become a trendy terminology, and her fashion sense is copied frequently. The brand Xtep, which she wore on her first ever international visit, so popular that it sold out not only in the mall but also on Taobao, an online store. That's called the First Lady effect.
I think it's interesting how Peng Liyuan's status as a style icon adds her to this growing international list of first ladies and female political figures. There's a lot of them these days who have been trying to project a unique fashion sense onto the world stage in addition to doing their other duties. We've mentioned Duchess Kate and Michelle Obama. We can also think about Carla Bruni Sarkozy of France. There's Samantha Cameron, the wife of the British Prime Minister, whom Peng Liyuan herself met while she was in the UK. And if you go back in time, you can find who is probably the most famous First Lady fashion icon of all, Jacqueline Kennedy.
Okay, but why do you think we have this phenomena?
Well, it has been said that traditionally, first ladies have been expected to set the tone of a leader's administration and also to set the tone of the national public's taste as consumers. And of course, with the rise of media and TV, digital media, where every one of your public appearances, whether you're a big country or a small country, every appearance means you might have a global audience of billions of people. So you have to be able to project the tone and the values of the leadership to all of these people. So there's a lot of pressure to strike a very recognizable and well-received chord in your public appearances. But even historically speaking, I think this phenomenon isn't just restricted to Western countries.
That's right. Peng Liyuan's glamorous style and celebrity status made many people compare her with Song Meilin, a former first lady of China in the 1930s. Song Meilin studied in the United States and could speak six languages, so she helped her husband Jiang Jishi deal with domestic and international affairs. She also loved the traditional Chinese painting and was very good at it, and was good at piano playing. While visiting abroad, everyone was attracted to her talents and charm, which left a deep impression to the foreign politicians, so people naturally compare Peng with Song. And as former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said, she has a huge influence on the world.
But of course, even while Peng Liyuan appears on the international stage, I think it's interesting that she's also famous for bringing in Chinese elements to her style. Like you mentioned, with the Chinese style collar while she was in the UK, and her preference for using Chinese designers, or, you know, sometimes she wears these embroidered buttons and asymmetrical lapels, which look like they could come from the Chinese qipao.
Definitely, when you mix Chinese elements with an international presence, that's also part of her role as First Lady to bring China to the world.
And I think it definitely makes you look forward to more news about official state visits.
Thank you, Hattie and Daisy, and we'll offer you some living tips at the end of our program. The change of weather has caused the spreading of flu. Please be aware of your surroundings, drink more hot water, and exercise more. And these are the selected news brought to you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focus on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. I'm Feng Guorui. See you.
And I'm Liu Shijin. See you.
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。